This Week in Agriculture, a production of the Red River Farm Network. With your look at the markets, I'm Tyler Donaldson. This past week, nearly 330 American Crystal Sugar Company beet shares were brokered at $3,900 per share. Jason Menke of Acres and Shares reports, this is only the second time in the last 20 years that more than 300 shares were brokered this late in the season. U.S. export demand is sending mixed signals, with weekly USDA data showing a sharp drop in shipments, but some improvement in sales. Corn sales were a bright spot, up 21% on the week, and new crop wheat sales also posted strong gains, but soybean sales fell 29%, reflecting softer global demand. At the same time, exports declined across the board, with corn down 18%, soybeans off 21%, and wheat lower by 22%. Despite the slowdown, steady buying from key markets like Mexico, China, and Indonesia are helping support longer-term demand for U.S. crops. President Donald Trump says the U.S. will raise tariffs on European Union vehicles to 25%, accusing the EU of failing to uphold its trade commitments. The move would increase tariffs from the current 15% level set under last year's agreement and could escalate tensions between the two sides. European officials say they are still implementing the deal and warn they may respond if the U.S. moves forward. The proposed hike adds uncertainty for global trade and the auto sector, with the U.S. remaining a key market for European manufacturers. Oil prices are climbing despite new efforts to reopen the Strait of Hormuz. Brent crude earlier in the week was above $109 per barrel, U.S. crude topping $102 per barrel. As markets remained on edge over the U.S.-Iran standoff, President Donald Trump said the U.S. would help guide stranded ships through the strait, but the plan does not include Navy escorts, raising doubts about its effectiveness. Meanwhile, Iran is warning it could target foreign forces in the region, keeping geopolitical risk high. Traders are also watching OPEC moves and the UAE's exit from the group, adding more uncertainty to an already volatile energy market. And we're now in the 10th week of the closure of the Strait of Hormuz. StoneX Vice President of Fertilizers Josh Linville says not much has changed in that time.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's really not changed. Actually, that's something we were kind of joking about in here, is that we're doing our weekly memo, and we didn't have anything to write about. Now, that doesn't mean there isn't, like, a tremendous amount of things that are going wrong with global fertilizer, right? You've got the straits is still closed for the 10th week in a row. You've got, you know, the Russia-Ukraine conflict still going on. You've got European production for nitrogen still being low. You've got phosphate values, the cost of production going through the absolute roof. There's a lot of things going on, but there's nothing new. And that's the big thing right now that we're kind of focused on.
The ongoing conflict in the Middle East is creating continued volatility in commodity markets, with ripple effects already being felt across agriculture. NDSU Extension economist Fran Olson says the situation with Iran remains highly unpredictable.
There's obviously going to be ripple effects. There's already starting to see some shifts and some trade patterns. You know, there are going to be some longer term implications for this, but we're still trying to figure out, A, what's happening right now, and B, how long might this last? And so that's really our immediate focus, is so where are we at and what's coming next? Once that stabilizes, then we'll have to sit back and say, well, given what we see, what do we think the longer term implications are? But right now, things are, again, changing so rapidly. You know, the crystal ball is broken. We're not really sure what's going to happen by the end of the day, let alone what's going to happen a month from now.
Traders are turning their attention to the next USDA WASDE report due out on Tuesday. Analysts expect the report to show another large U.S. corn and soybean crop for 2026. Corn production projected near 15.95 billion bushels. Soybean production forecast at 4.45 billion bushels, up nearly 200 million from last year. Wheat production, however, is expected to decline to about 1.73 billion bushels. The estimates reflect USDA planting intentions released in March, showing higher corn acreage and fewer soybean acres heading into the growing season. Spin a look at the markets this week in agriculture here on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Tyler Donaldson.
This week in news from the Red River Farm Network, I'm Jamie Dickerman. With the House Farm Bill complete, the attention now shifting to the Senate. North Dakota Senator John Hoeven wants to see farmer bridge assistance and year-round E15 included in that debate.
Also, we need to increase the Commodity Credit Corp, CCC, to make sure that we can fund ARC PLC. That's what's really going to kick in and help our farmers starting in October. And so that's why I want to get some more farm bridge assistance, get them through to October. But with these high input costs and everything else, there's going to need to be some more assistance in the short term. So those are both going to need to be addressed, like I say, either in the Farm Bill or in the supplemental.
North Dakota Congresswoman Julie Fedorchak says farmers across the state encouraged by movement on the Farm Bill as it heads to the Senate. Fedorchak recently holding roundtable discussions in North Dakota with members of the Farmers Union and Farm Bureau to hear directly from producers.
People are excited about the Farm Bill getting passed, for sure. We've had some great conversations with producers had a round table earlier this week with both the Farmers Union and the Farm Bureau and a number of their members really representing all corners of the state. Some grain improvements in the Farm Bill passed now through the House and heading to the Senate, including baking in the improvements in crop insurance and reference prices and the safety net programs, but also really increasing, doubling in some cases, the amount of dollars invested in trade expansion, so growing our market.
Washington policy analyst Jim Wiesmeyer says uncertainty surrounding the Iran conflict continues to create volatility across energy, grain, and fertilizer markets. Wiesmeyer says the market's remaining extremely sensitive to every development tied to negotiations between the U.S. and Iran.
Yeah, it's almost like the old, you have to be a certain age to get this, but an Etch-a-Sketch. I mean, you think you know something one day, and then it shakes, and then you're at ground, almost at ground zero. Iran has a multi-decade habit of extending talks out, and then they don't do much. So there's a one-page, 14-point U.S. proposal. Iran, whoever talks for Iran, and that's murky, still hasn't given a definitive judgment on that. But the stock market, the financial markets, seem to think that a long-term ceasefire and some type of an agreement is coming, a gerund coming.
Momentum continues to build in Washington for year-round E15 legislation as lawmakers prepare for a House vote this week. Growth Energy CEO Emily Score says support for nationwide year-round E15 is stronger than ever.
I'll say we're on the precipice. We are. We have so much real momentum right now. We have a broad coalition of support, all right? You've got farmers, ethanol producers, fuel retailers, the majority of oil refiners. We are all united in a compromise bill. There's going to be a vote next week in the House. The legislators are hearing, I think, with real crystal clarity that there is a uniform perspective. And now is the time because gas prices are incredibly top of mind. Congress is being asked to do something. The president has told them to do something. And E15 is the solution.
All eyes this week on an upcoming meeting between President Trump and Chinese President Xi. NDSU economist Frayn Olson says the meeting comes at a complicated time.
The war in Iran is obviously going to take a significant portion of that. But there's always these additional trade issues that we're also talking about with AI and the semiconductors. We're looking at aircraft. We're looking at obviously soybeans, now potentially some fertilizer discussions because China does manufacture some fertilizer and export some of that internationally. There's a lot to talk about. And the question I guess I have is how much priority will be put on these trade issues versus the political issues, in particular in the war in Iran.
That's a look at this week in the news. I'm Jamie Dickerman on the Red River Farm Network.
With your look at the weather this week in agriculture, I'm Tyler Donaldson. Cooler weather settled back into the northern plains and upper Midwest this week as temperatures ran about 10 to 15 degrees below normal here. Through midweek, for temperatures started to climb again by week's end. Wind was a factor through much of the week, including Friday, gusts reaching as high as 35 miles per hour in the Red River Valley, even stronger gusts of 40 to 55 miles per hour in northeast South Dakota behind a cold front. Scattered showers possible here heading into the weekend, but overall conditions stay cool with highs mainly in the 40s and 50s. Western and southern Minnesota could also see a slight chance of rain here over the weekend, followed by cooler temps. Weather will be a key factor for producers as the growing season advances, with a mix of cooler conditions and active precipitation expected across much of the country. USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey says the outlook offers some relief for drought concerns.
The west, warmer than normal, but we should see some occasional rain and snow like we have been, kind of staving off concerns at least a few more weeks with respect to wildfires and water supply. May reduce irrigation demands for a little bit deeper into the growing season.
Rippey says cooler air from Canada will continue to influence conditions east of the Rockies.
Cool weather still kind of lurking from Canada northward, pushing into the areas east of the Rockies. I'm hopeful that we'll start slowly chipping away some of that drought across the plains and the south, and hopefully we can start turning the corner in a few areas. You got soybeans more than half planted in most of the southern states, all desperately in need of moisture, and this should help as we move deeper into May.
Rippey says improved moisture could benefit emerging crops, especially in drought-stricken areas. World Weather Incorporated reports conditions across South America are creating a mixed outlook for crop development and field work. Brazil is seeing mostly dry conditions helping field work progress, but rain is expected to return later this week. And improving soil moisture for safrina corn while also slowing activity in some areas. In Argentina, improving harvest conditions are expected with mostly dry weather ahead after a round of rain midweek. The latest USDA crop progress report shows planting picking up pace across South Dakota. Corn planting is 16% complete, behind 21% last year, but ahead of the five-year average of 8%. Soybean planting is at 8%, ahead of 5% last year and above the five-year average of 3%. Spring wheat planting is 69% complete, well ahead of 52% last year and the five-year average of 45%. Winter wheat condition rated 44% good to excellent, compared to 45% last year. Overall, South Dakota farmers are making solid planting progress, with small grains leading the way and row crops running ahead of normal pace, despite a slower start compared to last year in corn. Latest USDA crop progress report shows North Dakota planting remains well behind the normal pace. Corn planting is at 4% compared to 16% last year and the five-year average of 9%. Soybean planting is 2% complete, trailing 9% a year ago and the five-year average of 3%. Spring wheat planting is reported at 19%, well behind last year's 33% pace and the five-year average of 24%. Sugar beet planting further along at 40%, but still behind last year's 68% and the five-year average of 42%. Wet conditions continue to slow field work across the state, keeping progress behind both last year and the normal pace for early May. And in Minnesota, latest crop progress report from USDA shows farmers are making solid planting progress, running ahead of normal in several crops. Corn planting is 42% ahead of 41% last year and well above the five-year average of 33%. Soybean planting is at 27%, also ahead of 21% a year ago and the five-year average of 15%. Spring wheat planting is 28% complete, slightly behind 30% last year and near the five-year average of 29%. Sugar beet planting, 67% complete, trailing 72% last year, but ahead of the five-year average of 55%. Overall, Minnesota planting progress is ahead of average for row crops, with favorable weather helping producers get a strong start to the season. It's been a look at the weather this week in agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Tyler Donaldson.